this is Bud Foster, defense coordinator at Virginia Tech. You're listening to The Clubhouse with Kyle Bailey.
Well, that was timely. Bud Foster bringing us back. Here in the McAdoo studios, Kyle Bailey, Wolfgang Goelke, and now Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com is with us. And as always, if you have questions for Chris, recruiting questions or otherwise, Chris is a great columnist as well. Give us a phone call, 639-4900, the Phillips Real Estate Hotline. Chris, what's going on, man? How are you?
Doing excellent. How are you?
Is this your downtime now? Spring football's over?
I don't think you could say anything's a downtime.
Yeah, you can
talk about recruiting now that it's the offseason and stuff like that, and we got some big projects planned coming up.
I hear you. So how is 2015, the cycle, going for Tech right now? A couple of early decommits, that was unsettling to some people, but how are things shaping up right now?
I think it's shaping up okay, particularly at defensive end, which is the major position of need. I don't think Tech, they don't need a lot right now, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. I think you want to try to get a quarterback in every class. But, you know, they've got a lot of bodies at running back, and they're probably going to get Deshaun McLeese out of Oscar Smith, so there's one running back. You know, you want to take 3 to 5 offensive linemen every year, I think. So that's in process right now. There's a lot of young tight ends in the program, so I'm not sure tight end is a huge need, although I think Tremaine Edwards, that might end up being his long-term position.
Big kid.
Man, I saw him on and a lot of these sites that are listing him at 6'3", 200, they need to update it.
He's from down your way in Southside, right?
Yeah, he is. And he's actually just like his two older brothers. He got skipped a grade. He's a rising senior, but he does not turn 16 years old until tomorrow. And he's already 6'4", 215. This guy's not playing outside linebacker. This guy's a defensive end or a tight end all the way, because he has his dad's frame.
Yeah,
he's going to top out at 250, 260, something like that.
I think people do still forget that sometimes that Trey Edmonds last year is a redshirt
18 years old.
18 years old, right?
Yeah.
I mean, still developing physically.
Right.
That's a big deal to remember that.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and when you're trying to recruiting is so much projection.
Yeah.
You know, and people get caught up on guys how they do early in their careers, and sometimes it takes guys to develop. If we judged Lee Suggs on his redshirt freshman season, then we would have been running him out of town and to transfer to JMU or something, right?
Yeah. You're right about
because he just wasn't big enough.
Yeah.
And you know, he hadn't developed that great vision yet and barely got to play.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so you talked about Deshaun McLeese a second ago. In my limited recruiting knowledge, I usually rely on guys like you and Evan Watkins to keep me abreast of what's actually happening. The kid from also Oscar Smith, Josh Sweat, he's drawing comparisons to Jadeveon Clowney. Are those realistic?
They're premature. I think he's maybe that type of player. He's an excellent athlete. To me, he's like Daddy Nicholas, except he has size.
Yeah.
But I just remember being... Don't get me wrong. He's a freak of an athlete.
No, Dottie.
Josh Sweat. He's a freak of an athlete. I think it's unfair to compare anybody to Jadeveon Clowney.
Sure it is.
I mean, that guy was one of the few guys that I think might have been able to play in the NFL right out of high school, just from a size and strength perspective. There's nobody else I would even think about saying that about.
Nice.
He's the only one that I think might have a chance. So I'm not going to put anybody else in that category, but do I think Josh Sweat's the best defensive end in the country? Absolutely.
And again, correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I've been told and what I've been reading, it's still fairly early in the process, but it looks like this might come down to a battle between Virginia Tech and Georgia.
Yeah, you know, he's still only visited Virginia Tech. He's kind of a homebody.
Yeah.
You know, and he says Stein Springs his favorite recruiter.
Now, we've heard that line before from the top defensive end in the country, right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, not Steinspring, but Bud Foster.
Right.
Deshaun Hand.
Deshaun Hand.
Right.
You know, and I think what's losing a lot of these is isn't necessarily their recruiting coaches. I don't think Beamer goes as head-to-head with other head coaches as well as he used to in the past.
But, okay.
Yeah, like I don't think he can go head-to-head with Nick Saban for a 5-star recruit and consistently beat him.
Okay.
So, if anything, I think right now Virginia Tech's a favorite for Josh Sweat. But you know, if it comes down to Beamer versus Mark Richt, I don't know. I read an article recently on VT Scoop. And it was Tim Settle, the 5-star defensive tackle.
Yeah.
Out of Northern Virginia. He flat out said, he's like, I don't like being recruited by my recruiting coach. I like to be recruited by head coaches. And where does Virginia Tech keep going down his list? Down, 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 down. And who's going up? Your Butch Joneses, Tennessees, and Ohio States, and Alabamas, and Florida States, and stuff like that keep going up that list.
This is not a referendum on that kid, Tim Settle, who I think is a tremendous football player.
Sure.
Physically has a ton of potential.
Yes.
But can you start to see the signs kind of early in the process that a kid is going to be sort of a diva or a handful or just...
By how they handle themselves with stuff like that. Right. I look at Michael Barnett. And I like Michael Barnett. He's a nice guy, but he originally committed to Virginia Tech, and you know, he was pretty quiet on Twitter. But all of a sudden, he opened up his recruitment, and now everybody's just kissing his butt on Twitter.
Sure.
And every time an NC State fan tweets at him, come to NC State, you'll be the next Mario Williams or something like that.
Yeah.
He retweets it. I mean, he loves the attention.
This is a
16-year-old guy who's proved nothing.
That's an excellent point. What I was going to say to that was, you're right. And I think it's not nearly as much about the kid, because at 17 years old, if you and I were being courted by Frank Beamer and Dabo Swinney and Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban, I can't say that I wouldn't have acted the same way. What it boils down to is a lot of these guys don't have great people around them.
Yes.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't have the people around them that have been through the process before. They can give them advice. They can smack them in the face if they need to get smacked and tell them how to act.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the society we live in.
Yeah, you're right. So recruiting seems to be okay for the 25th.
Yeah, I think it'll be fine. I think it's going to be a smaller class, but you know, it'll be a solid class.
Well, I mean, after the sizable class they just took,
sure.
I mean, that only makes sense.
That only happens in the SEC, where you have two back-to-back 30-member classes.
You're not talking about over-signing, are you? That's not what you're hinting at, are you?
No,
I didn't think
I would never.
Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com is in studio with us. You can give us a phone call, 639-4900, the Phillips Real Estate Hotline, or tweet at us, twitter.com/theclubhouseKB. We've got some questions to read. I'll get to those coming up in just a few minutes. Spring football, it's in the bag now.
Mm-hmm.
Like you and I talked about last week, I don't know how much you can glean from that game. It was a mixed bag. You know, they kind of shuffled the rosters. You didn't have, you know, largely first groups playing together.
Once I saw the rosters for each team, I was like, this game's going to be worthless. I should probably just keep tailgating.
Well, but after that first drive, there's a lot of high hopes.
I know. I was like, man, maybe we will get some points today.
Yeah, 87 yards right down the field. Brennan Motley and the white team score all on the ground. I mean, that was encouraging. And then from there, it was just sort of...
Pretty much.
You know, but... Here, I think that, from my perspective anyway, I think some of the guys in the media, and I love most of the guys we work with, but I think some of the guys in the media have been overly critical of the quarterback play from last week. Was it good? No, I mean, it wasn't great. But I didn't think it was that bad. I think Mark Leal made some nice throws. He made some bad throws. Mm-hmm. I think Brennan Motley actually wasn't asked to throw the ball nearly as many times as Leal was.
Which is interesting.
You know, his numbers weren't huge. He was 6 of 11, I think 72 yards in a pick, which you and I talked about. I mean, it was a Hail Mary out of the end zone. It was the first turnover for him the entire spring.
Sure.
You know, and I thought he looked calm and in control of the offense. I mean, I don't think there's too much concern about the quarterback spot right now. I mean, let me rephrase that. No one should go into panic mode.
I feel better about it right now than I did before the spring. That's how I phrased it. You know, somebody asked me in a Friday Q&A question today, do I feel better about the team right now than I did before spring practice? And I said, I do feel a little bit better right now, you know, for a few reasons. Number one, I feel better about the quarterback position than I did. Just simply because, all right, if Leal was going to be our number one and then somebody has beaten him out, then that's a good thing.
Sure.
That means we're improved on what we thought we were going to have.
Mm-hmm.
And then number two, you know, Marshawn Williams has showed that he can be one of those top two or three tailbacks and get a lot of carries this year. And then number three, the starting defense looks very good. You know, there are other question marks. I mean, quarterback's still a question mark, but it's better than we thought it was going to be. The depth on the defensive end is a concern. The place kicking situation, you know, could be a concern. But we knew that going into the spring.
Yeah.
So I don't think we learned anything negatively this spring that we didn't already know before the spring.
I think you and I agreed on this a couple of weeks ago, but I still feel this way, and I don't think anything's going to change that. I think this thing comes down to Motley and Brewer.
I think it will.
I just don't see any way that it doesn't.
Yeah. You know, and let's face it, Michael Brewer came to Virginia Tech to start.
Yeah.
He didn't come here to be third string and be behind Mark Leal. And quite frankly, I think Scott Loeffler is tired of breaking in a new quarterback every year, wherever he's at. So it's either going to be Brewer or Motley, in my opinion.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, if Mark Leal wants to go out there and win the job and beat those guys out, then they'll start him. I mean, sure. But I don't think that's going to happen.
We haven't seen any indication that it will.
Sure.
There's a couple of things that I point to, and I think we've talked about this before, you and I, either on or off the air, but it goes back to the Logan Thomas era. As bad as Thomas played at certain spots,
yeah.
If Leal was a better alternative, Thomas would have been benched.
I mean, somewhere in the last 4.5 years of his career, we would have figured out that he was really good if he was really good.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. So there's that. There was the Sun Bowl, which I don't think was fair to judge him entirely on.
You're
that.
You're right. Of course not.
But he didn't look like a starting quarterback, and he didn't play that well.
Right.
And so then the spring, you know, I want to put it up front. He has had a bit of a nagging knee injury, but it wasn't debilitating. And he got outplayed by Brennan Motley.
Yeah, he did. And he's not the type of quarterback where a knee injury – I mean, he's going to be a pocket passing quarterback.
Sure.
Mobility's never going to be his thing. And having a knee injury doesn't affect, you know, how you see the field and things like that. And that's what's always concerned me about him. You know, it's just I don't think he sees the field that great. You know, when he got into a pressure situation in the Sun Bowl when that UCLA guy had him wrapped up and he just made that awful decision to just kind of float the ball up.
Yeah.
Like a Brett Favre throw that didn't end up. You know, it was a magical play.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
it's several things. It's you know, staying behind Logan Thomas, it's the Sun Bowl, it's getting beat in the spring, it's only having 1 year of eligibility left.
And just not having the overall talent, I think, of Brennan Motley or Michael Brewer.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, he's not as big or as fast as both these quarterbacks are more mobile than he is.
Yeah.
Michael Brewer or Brennan Motley is more mobile than him.
I tell you what, Motley on a bum ankle last week still made a lot of people miss that 19-yard touchdown run.
Oh, they got called back. That was a shame.
Here's my thing about Motley. And again, people that might not know this, I'll say it again. I'm an unabashed Motley homer. I'm a Christiansburg guy. I do their radio. So just take it for what it's worth. This is his first full spring.
Right.
And the strides that he's made, you know, in just one full spring, you know, you might look at it and say, well, he didn't definitively put Mark Leal out of the picture. 3 months ago, most people didn't even think he'd stay at the position.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
So what can he do with more developmental time? That's my question.
Yeah. What is his exactly is his ceiling?
Yeah.
And I don't think we really know that until the yellow jersey gets off of. Because I think he's a guy more so than Mark Leal who's held back by a yellow jersey.
Oh, without
question. There was a play early in that game where he was sacked. You know, and I use that term loosely, sacked by Dwayne Alford, where the entire right side of the field was open, and Dwayne Alford kind of breathed on him, and they blew the play dead.
That's right.
Where Motley was about to take off.
For about 30 yards.
And there was nobody there.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I want to continue this conversation. Let's go to a break. I'm going to get you to shave this break if we can. I want to maximize this Coleman time we have. We'll come back, keep talking a little bit of football. We'll squeeze in some basketball as well. Whit Babcock making some interesting comments out on the Hokie Club Trail. See if we can squeeze those in, too. Give us a phone call, 639-4900, the Phillips Real Estate Hotline. Y'all keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.